Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you to a very special Border Crossings. Today we are joined from his home studio, I assume. It looks like there's a studio going on behind him.
Yeah.
We've got a music superstar who's taking time between his tour stops because he's been very, very busy on the road doing a lot of shows back here in the United States and overseas as well. Keith Urban is with us, and it is great to have Keith Urban on the show today. I'm a fan. I'm in awe of your accomplishments. I know you've won so many ACM awards and CMAs and 4 Grammys and all the other platinum accomplishments you've had. Do you have one thing in your career that stands out to you above everything else?
Firstly, I want to say you share a namesake with one of my all-time favorite drummers.
Oh, yeah, Elvis's drummer, right.
Larry London, who is one of the great session drummers, too, particularly played on so many songs I loved. So there you go.
Well, we got something going then, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you play drums, Larry?
No, I bang on a lot of things at home, but I wouldn't call it drumming.
Favorite accomplishments? That's hard to narrow that down, I think, musically. You know, musically, all I ever wanted to do was write songs, make records, hopefully get on the radio, hopefully be able to tour, and keep doing that and get better at it. That's kind of the baseline of all I ever wanted to do. I wanted to move to America, and I got to do that when I was 22 years old, and do what I'm doing now. It's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And you got 3 passports. You got a New Zealand passport, an Australia passport, and a U.S. passport.
I do, yeah. Yeah,
man, been around. Now, you know, you were, of course, one of the coaches on the Australian show, The Voice. You were on American Idol here in the U.S. But I understand that you actually, little known fact about Keith Urban, you started off on a talent show, New Faces, I believe, in Australia when you were younger.
Yeah, actually, I did a bunch of them. I did. There was a lot of singing shows at that point. There was one called Pot of Gold. There was one called New Faces. There was another one called Stairway to the Stars. There was like lots of these shows. And so my mom and dad got me onto these shows. I think one of them, they had to lie about my age. I think they said I was 16, but I just turned 15. But you had to be 16 to go on the show. So they squeezed me on there. And they've always been supportive. So very, very grateful.
Well, speaking of your age, you've got a birthday coming up, 55, the big 5-5 in October. What is the plan? Are you going to be with the family, with Nicole and the kids?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I never work during that period. I like to just be with the family, and this year will be no exception.
Mm-hmm. Are you a religious man? I mean, just looking at your kids' names, Sunday and Faith, is it a religious connection or just happened?
That's a good point. This Sunday actually was a suggestion from Nick's father, and we just loved the name. For Nick and I, it was really about the fact that when I was single, and I think a lot of single people can relate to it, Sunday was my least favorite day because everybody's with their families. Nobody wants to go out clubbing. Nobody wants to do anything on a Sunday. And when I was single, I dreaded Sundays. After I met Nick, it became my favorite day because it was a day we had to ourselves. There was no work. We could just be together. So it went from least favorite to favorite. And so because of that, and Nick had the same experience, we decided that Sunday was the perfect name for our first daughter. So it wasn't typical religious choosing of that name at all. And then Faith was just a name that seemed right for her as she was coming into the world. And we didn't think about the two names together, but it has a lot of strong belief in something greater than ourselves, for sure.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And are you going to encourage the girls to get into music?
They haven't needed much encouragement. I know that Faith is, she loves singing and writing songs. She's only 11, so who knows what they're going to get into. But we just support them being committed to it and really working hard at it, no matter what it is.
It's amazing. I mean, I can't imagine being an 11-year-old and your dad is Keith Urban, your mom is Nicole Kidman. I mean, that's just, you know, blows my mind away. Now, you grew up playing the ukulele, I guess, was the first instrument you picked up.
Well, yeah. I, because I was 4, My mom and dad just gave me one when I was 4 years old. I don't know why. It was just, who knows? They gave it, you know, the perfect size instrument for a four-year-old kid. So, and my dad, who was a drummer, said that I could strum it in time with the songs on the radio. So they asked some people, what would be a great age for him to learn some chords? Because he seems to have rhythm. And they said six is good. And so when I was six, they bought me a guitar and got me a teacher. And I just took to it right away.
And I saw you playing the banjo for Nicole. You know, some video you had posted, I guess, on Facebook. You were strumming away and she was sitting there watching you. It was really cool.
Well, for the purists, it's a six-string banjo. So I'm cheating a little bit. It's not the traditional five-string banjo, which is pure. It's sort of a guitar-banjo hybrid that they call a ganjo. And I've had that for a long time. Long time. I just love that sound. I've always loved that sound.
We're talking with the music superstar, Keith Urban, who is on tour. The new album is The Speed of Now, Part One, which blends belief that there's going to be a Part Two.
Maybe.
Maybe. Come on. Yeah, keep it between you and I. All right. Just a little between you and I. A few million people.
Yeah. I think there will be a Part Two, but I don't think it'll be the next record. I think the beauty about those kinds of things is they don't have to be sequential. I think when another record comes along that feels like it's in line with that first album, a lot of songs got left off of that first album. So those ones will probably see the light of day on part two at some point.
And you've been, you know, touring the Speed of Now world tour. I was reading where you, you know, really had a great time in the UK and people were coming out to, you know, in great crowds. Is country music different in other parts of the world than it is in America? Is it received differently? Is it, you
I
know,
think,
how does...
you know, our mixture of it, because obviously I mix a lot of things in with to sort of create my own style, has just started to feel consistent wherever we go. I mean, we get a pretty diverse audience. Some people come out because of the guitar playing, some because of the song, some because of the country, some because of the pop stuff like I did with Pink. There's a big mix of people. And the UK was just amazing. We hadn't played there in a long time and I had no idea what to expect, but they were just, man, their energy and they seemed to know every word of every song. And it was incredible. I can't wait to get back.
And what made you decide that Ram Jam, Black Betty, that would be a song you want to do?
there's a song on my album called Tumbleweed, and when we were running the song at soundcheck one day, I just sort of spontaneously went into a bit of that. Whoa, Black Betty, bam, bam. I just kind of had that vibe about it, and so I decided that'd be a good spot to put the place that we're playing in, to put their name, city or town name, in there. As part of that riff as well.
Well, you know, Keith Urban, that name is known around the world. Of course, you have your own guitar line. You give money to charity. You give a lot of money to charity. The Mr. Opus Foundation is one, the Holland Opus. And why did you pick that charity?
Music education programs, I mean, for me, are really important, among many others, but particularly that, because I just grew up in a basic public school in Australia. That had a pretty basic music class, nothing fancy. There was a piano, beat up old upright piano, and a real basic kind of class. But nonetheless, we had a music class, and it seems like over the years, music has been one of those things that when a school is trying to cut certain things out, music often gets cut out. I think it's seen too much as a sort of peripheral, not really necessary thing. We can do without that. We've got to keep the sport and we've got to keep the academics, but we'll get rid of the arts. And as a musician and also as somebody that was my expression for my voice as a kid, not just here, but like here, every part of me needed music to be able to connect with people and express and articulate my thoughts and who I was. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't had music to help me with that. So I'm passionate about making sure we can continue the support for those programs in schools where kids really need it.
You are really an inspiration and a role model for so many people. You're one of the really a genuine, sincere person. You know when you're talking to Keith Urban that you're really, you know, opening yourself up. And I assume that the new album has a lot of personal songs on it. I mean, different songs that you created, you wrote. Do you typically, you like to write your own music?
I've written a lot of it over the years, but I've also recorded songs that I found written by other people. Some of my big hits, like Blue Ancient Color, You'll Think of Me, those are songs written by other people. And I got sent the song and loved them. So I'm not 100% writing everything, but every now and then certain songs come along. We were asked quite a few years back to write a song for a film called Act of Valor. And it was a song called For You that my co-writer and I, Monty Powell, wrote after seeing an early cut of the film before it came out. They asked us if we'd try and write something for the film, and we wrote that song. So I love writing for something where I feel, you know, I feel something from it, and the song came quite quick because of it.
Mm-hmm. Are the songs that you write songs that you either observe or songs that you've experienced? I mean, are they happenings that you watch other people living, or where do you get your inspiration?
I think it's both in most cases. There's always something, even if it's a song I didn't write, I'm going to be able to relate to something in the story. A lot of the times it's both people. A song like Blue Ancient Color, I know that guy in the song, but I know that girl in the song too. And I can strongly relate to that. To that story. Same with You're Thinking Me and those sorts of songs.
Mm-hmm. And how about Brown Eyes Baby? That is the new single. Yeah. Where's the inspiration for that one?
Not my wife. She's blue-eyed. So.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. This is a song written by some really good friends of mine here in Nashville, and they sent it to me, and it was just that love at first listen kind of thing. I can't even necessarily articulate why certain songs grab me and other ones don't. They just, I guess, because I'm meant to sing that song, and Brown Eyes Baby was that. Again, I just loved the story. I feel like that guy is very much is who I am. Mm-hmm. He's the same guy from Blue Ancient Color for sure, which is why I like that guy as well. And it's, wanting to bring out the best in some, wanting to help somebody rediscover a lot of those qualities about them that life has taken from them. And Blue Ancient Color was definitely that. Brown Eyes Baby is definitely that. And I just love the truth in that song.
Keith Urban is our guest. We're talking with one of the music superstars in all of music today, known for his songwriting, for his singing, for his touring, the great shows. I mean, the reviews I've been reading about the current tour and the energy and it's just nonstop. People are up on their feet and having a lot of fun.
So, yeah. You know, why not?
Why not? You know, life is short and we've dealt with enough nonsense and stuff over the last couple of years that, you know, let's get out and forget life for a little bit. Have a fun time. Have a party.
I was doing an interview with somebody about a month ago and they were rattling off all these things that we'd done. I said, you've been to the UK, you're back in the States, you put out this new single. I was like, when do you sleep? I said, I just slept for 2 years. What are you talking about? I'm ready to go. Let's go, you know.
Well, how is The Speed of Now, part one, different from the last album?
I think, you know, the albums for me are just, they're photographs of where I'm at musically and in energy-wise. It's sort of the songs capture that. So I think you just have to listen to that record to sort of get a sense of where I'm at and who I am. At that point, that record came out in 2020, which was such an odd thing to put a record out in 2020 and then not be able to tour. I've never had that happen in my life. So I feel like I've been waiting around for 18 plus months with all these songs ready to hit the road. So on being on this tour and seeing people every night sing along to all these songs that I was so patiently waiting to come out and play live, it's just been indescribable.
Mm. Are you going on tour in the next year? I imagine you've got a holiday break, you've got Thanksgiving plans. What will you be doing for the holidays?
Yeah, well, this tour wraps up, the US leg wraps up in the first week of November. And then we have about 3 weeks off, which will include Thanksgiving. And then we take everything down to Australia and do about 12, 13 dates down there all the way up towards the week before Christmas. And then we'll probably have Christmas with our mothers, Nick's mom and my mom. and our siblings, my brother, her sister, all live there. So we'll have family Christmas and then come on back to Nashville.
And I, you know, I'm excited that you're, you know, going to be, when you come to DC, you were here in DC not too long ago, I guess.
Yeah.
I read.
Yeah, we were.
So when you come back, I would love to have you in our studios. Hopefully by then.
Oh,
we'll
that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be good.
I would love to be able to talk to you. Now, acting. Of course, your wife is a very famous actress, and you just did a voice character in an animated film. You played Doug in an animated movie. So do you have plans to do any more acting? Can we see Keith Urban on the big screen?
I don't foresee that.
No,
there's someone in my family that's much better at it, Larry. So I think
you have a connection, you know.
That's true. I got an in.
It's who you know.
I think if anything, it's given me a chance to see that you have to be called to that. I think it's like music. You know, I was called to make music. That's my calling. That's my passion. It's creatively my first love, creatively. And Nick's is acting, and I think it just works perfectly, just the way it is.
What do you do when you're not making music? What kind of hobbies does Keith Urban have?
Making music.
Making music when you're not making music.
Yeah, it's a hobby that it was a hobby to begin with, and then it turned into a way to make a living and my job and my calling. But it's my passion. It's very separate to just work. So I love writing songs. I love recording. This studio here is in our house downstairs. And
where are you living?
We're in Nashville.
Nashville, okay. Music City.
Oh, wow, yeah. Been here almost 30 years. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. That's fantastic. Now, when you talked earlier about Brown Eyes Baby not being about Nicole, I'm sure you've written some songs about her, inspired by her.
Sure, yeah.
This is your redemption, Keith. This is the chance to name it.
She knows. I mean, the first one I always think of is The Fighter, which is a duet I did with Carrie Underwood. And that's very, I mean, that's about Nick top to bottom. It's a very straight ahead song about her. Yeah.
It's you have collaborated with so many different artists, you know, Pink. You know, and of course, Carrie Underwood and many, many other country stars. And what is the future for you as far as collaborations? Tell me about some of the plan. Is there people on your list of collaborations that you haven't collaborated with, your wish list?
Oh, always. Yeah, always. But I'm also, I Shazam a lot. So I'm tagging songs in random places. I'll be the guy standing on the table at a restaurant trying to get my phone close enough to the speaker because I want to tag that quiet song I can just hear. And from that, you know, my musical expression has expanded so much because I like different songs speak to me for different reasons. Like I'll tag something and I would think, why do I like, what was it about this song I liked? And I don't always know. It's a feeling, right? It's just a feeling. I don't know. Because a lot of the times, I think, especially us guys, I think, most guys I know, we don't know the words to the song. Usually for a while with this, we love something else about the song, the beat, the groove, the melody, a hook, something, the way it sounds, the way it makes us feel. And so I think I respond to that feeling in songs. And it's the same with collaborators. I think I just, something speaks to me and I want to go and work with that person if I can.
What are three must play songs at a Keith Urban concert? Three songs somebody, you have to do.
Somebody Like You. Blue Ain't Your Color. And what would be a third one? Man, that's a good question. We always close out with Wasted Time. It's not only a big fan favorite, but I think it's thematically what I love about going out and playing is bringing everybody together in this common experience, which right now is more valuable, I think, than it's ever been, with so much separation, diversity, and divisiveness. I love being in a situation where I have the opportunity to bring people together who are completely, maybe totally different. I mean, our audience is every political persuasion, every religious persuasion, just everything. It's hugely different. But we find this common ground for like 2+ hours. And you can't even find that at a sporting event. At a sporting event, the audience is split in half. So it's a real blessing to be able to bring people together for a couple of hours like that and find that moment where we have this thing in common. That's really, really strong.
Added Tyler Hubbard to the tour from the Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah. So yeah, we got Tyler coming in and Ingrid Andress out there with us right now. It's such a fun lineup and really hoping people can come out and see us play.
What a great, great show. You know, Keith Urban is on the road for a little while longer. You know, in your business, you're never not on the road, but I understand I heard somewhere where you said that you won't stay away from home for any length. You know, I mean, you have a policy. You have your normal, you're going to be home every 2 weeks. You want to come home or something like that.
Yeah, so I always want to state that it's not a rule. It's not a policy. It's just a want. It's a real want to not be away from home longer than I have to be. I think a lot of people watching and listening to this can relate to that. To be in a position where I can be home, I'm going to choose that when and where I can, even if it means a lot of extra travel. Because at the end of this short little ride on the blue ball, however long that is, I'll look back and wished I'd been with my family just a little bit longer and with my friends just a little bit longer. So trying to balance those things is really what it's always about when I'm touring, because I love being on stage and I love being home, and I'm trying to keep the two in harmony.
Yeah. It's always about balance. Everything in life is about balance. You know?
Yeah, and balance is never achieved. It's just maintained.
Mm. Do you have a pre-show ritual, something that you like to do before the show?
I always get asked that. Wish I had some great snappy answer, but no, not really. I think the first thought, Larry, is that I just like to keep loose. I like to be loose. And so there's an easy, effortless honesty about being on stage. That's what I'm seeking. I'm just seeking that we're in the moment. We're really here. I never phone anything in. I'm completely present, and I give it. I play, I think anybody that sees me play, I play like it might be my last show. Every show is that. It's 1,000% always.
Now, Keith Urban is our guest, giving us 1,000%. The new album is out right now called The Speed of Now, Part 1. He's on tour as well. 24 number one songs in your career, which is by nowhere. I don't even think you've reached the midway point. You know, you're a very young guy, and you're still riding the wave, the blue ball, as you say. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of things. First of all, I want to ask social media, where can people reach out and contact you? How can people around the world connect with Keith Urban?
Oh, we got Instagram, we got Facebook, TikTok. You can find us everywhere. KeithUrban.net, of course, is KeithUrban.com now. It was .net for the longest time.
Yeah, you got your website now.
Finally,
you won that.
Yes,
you got that website.
so we're everywhere. You can find us everywhere.
All right. And before we let you go, I'm going to give you a chance to say hi to the troops who are tuned in as well, because I know that country music and the military have had this relationship, this which is very, very close, and it's very unique. Country music's always supported the troops and for many, 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 many years. And so you're a big fan of the military as well. And I'm seeing wearing my military soldiers T-shirt.
I see that. I see that. Well, first of all, yes, it's been something passionate to me for ever since I moved here to America, is recognizing that this freedom that we get to go out and play shows to all kinds of people in that environment, that doesn't come for free. And I recognize that, and I'm very grateful for that. I know that behind the scenes, the sacrifices that not only everybody on the front lines make, but also behind the scenes, families, the sacrifices and support and love that families have to give 24/7 is also an enormous give. So I've always looked for ways to be able to participate in giving back to all the men and women in the military. We've just recently gotten behind Canines for Warriors, which I think is a great cause based down in Florida. I think they do great work. So just to all of you watching right now, thank you from me, Nick, our girls. We just thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Oh, thank you. Happy birthday to you coming up. Keith Urban on tour, wherever he is around the world, make sure you go out and see the Speed of Now World Tour and get the CD Part 1. And I'm sure there's more music coming out in the near future from Keith Urban. Yes. It's a pleasure to meet you for the first
time.
Larry. Not the last. I want to have more chance to talk to you.
In person next time.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Keith Urban's our guest. This is Border Crossings on VOA TV.